My name is Amy. I'm an addict and alcoholic. And I'm just so happy. I'm looking around at all these squares of beautiful women and their beautiful children. And it just validates that there is a solution. I went into Austin Recovery October 22nd of 2003. And I came in a broken woman. I had a five-year-old who should have been taken away from me. Not quite sure why. That was all God, not me. But I was the type of alcoholic and addict that was what we like to call the low-lying fruit. I did anything and anyone that I needed to in order to get drugs and alcohol. You guys will have to pardon me. I had a hell of a day today. Took my kid, my oldest kid, who was five when I turned six while I was at AR, took him into the hospital for alcohol poisoning today. And the coolest thing about that is I didn't freak out and I didn't lose my cool. And he grew up in the rooms of AA, so he knows there's a solution should that be the path that he goes down. But I digress. So my mind's a little muddled right now, so hang with me. So as I was hitting my bottom, thank God his dad was able to kind of just kind of take him slowly from me, without me really knowing it. And I was in the hospital, I think for my fourth or fifth time in 6 months for either overdosing or alcohol poisoning or God knows what else. And I remember waking up and just thinking, I cannot live like this anymore. I'm 29 years old. I don't remember any of my 20s and I can't go on like this. And I remember thinking I'm going to be bored. I don't know how I am going to reward myself. Life is going to be miserable, but I'm going to give it a shot. And so, through a series of phone calls and interviews, AR, when it was over on Cross Park, had their detox there, and they basically said, do not quit drinking until we can find you a bed. And the next morning, there was a bed available. I walked through the doors, handed my mixed drink to my friend that brought me there, and decided I'm going to do whatever it takes for a year. Now, this is what I told myself. I'm going to do whatever it takes for a year. If they tell me to hang by my toes, I will hang by my toes. But I'm going to do what is asked of me for a year. And if at the end of that year, my life is still miserable, then I'll just start drinking again. And that was the deal that I made with myself. So I got into AR, and the first thing that struck me was all of the techs and all of the counselors were in recovery. And so for me, knowing that everybody that was surrounding me and helping me had been where I was at that moment, that really meant a lot to me. It showed me that this wasn't somebody with this big degree that had never gone through the hell that I had gone through. So that was the first thing that really struck me as I was going through AR. The second thing was my first meeting in detox, my old dealer was there. And that was a little, I almost ran then, but something said stay, and he helped convince me to stay. So I did my 30 days there, 8 days in detox, and then I went to women's level 2. And while I was there, you know how everybody brings meetings in, and I found a sponsor on like week 2. And I remember thinking, okay, all right, this is good. It's okay, but I can still start drinking again if I do what they tell me to do and this doesn't work out. So I started doing just that, doing exactly what everybody told me to do. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. When I got out, I went to sometimes 3 meetings a day. I was unemployable at that time. I hadn't been employed in quite some time because I couldn't hold a job. So I just went to meetings. I went to a lot of meetings and I started working the steps and I got into H&I. And once I got through all 12 steps, I started taking meetings wherever they would have me. I immersed myself in this program. But the thing that I kept getting caught up on was God. I was raised Catholic. No, you know, no disrespect to anybody that is Catholic, but the God that I was raised with was a very vengeful, mean, you know, just, I couldn't pray to this God that I had been raised with. And I will never forget, my sponsor just looked at me and she was like, honey, come up with your own conception. And I was like, you can't do that. You can't come up with your own conception of God. And you sure as shit can. And I did. And I guarantee that nobody prays to the one that I do, but this is the God that has gotten me through everything. I brought him in with me today. I bring him with me everywhere I go. And when I had that spiritual awakening, it wasn't a burning bush like the book talks about. Mine was, my spiritual awakening was a very slow process of my child not being scared to be around me anymore. Us starting slowly. It didn't happen overnight. It took months. But us starting this relationship again, getting a job, starting my amends, all of these things built up to this day where I was like, I am completely at peace and the obsession to drink and use is not with me today. And when that hit me, I was just, it was just like, what? How is this possible? I never thought I could go a day without dreaming, thinking, craving, needing alcohol and drugs. And when I say drugs, I thought I was such a good drug addict because I wasn't trashy enough to use needles. But let me tell you something, I did everything else. So to the point where I remember two of my speed dealers cut me off. And so I would go back in the early 2000s, you could still get ephedrine. And I'd crush up, you know, four or five bottles of it and do that in a day. I mean, just the insanity of just trying to that next high, that next thing. Hang on. Sorry. I'm fuzzy here. So when this spiritual awakening came to me, it was more of a, oh my God, I these promises are really happening. The book talks about these promises. And I remember one of the first meetings that was brought to AR, this woman comes in and she was just so happy. And she was like, my name is blah, blah, blah. And I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I remember thinking, what do you mean you're grateful? What is there to be grateful for? Jesus, you've got this disease that keeps you from drinking the rest of your life. How can you be grateful for that? And as time went on, I got it. I'm sorry. The sun is coming right into my window. I'm going to shift here so that there's not that. I got it. Today, I am a grateful recovering alcoholic and addict because today, you know, that fear of never having fun again. How am I going to have fun at concerts? How am I going to dance? How am I going to have fun at parties? The reality was I was kicked out of most of them or taken out in handcuffs for most of them. So I wasn't having fun at these things. Today, I remember them and I enjoy them. So I'm moving way forward too quickly. So I got through the steps. I got really involved with H&I. I started taking meetings to really anywhere that would have me, that there was, if there was an open spot, I would take it. I got a job at a little restaurant called the Omelet Tree, which at the time was over on Burnett Road. And I remember going in and just being like, I just got out of rehab and I'm an alcoholic and I'm going to do so good for you. And I'm so ready to work for you. And they did not want to hire me. And I just kept going back every day. And I just kept praying. You know, it's funny. One of the sayings that was ingrained in me early on was trust God and do the footwork. You know, you can't trust God and sit on your couch and not do anything. It's like, you got to do the footwork. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do what they tell me to do. So damn if I didn't get that job at the Omelet Tree and they didn't serve booze. I had my kid and, well, part-time. And I didn't have to be around alcohol because that's all I knew how to do was sling drinks. I was in the restaurant industry for a very long time. And the thought of being behind a bar, you know, I knew that wouldn't have worked out for me. So I started working and I started my my second round of steps. And this was before I even hit the 1 year mark. I realized that I had kind of just gone through them, which was great. But then I needed to go a little deeper. And so anyway, as time went on, the fear dropped away, the shame dropped away, the, you know, I remember speaking in a meeting one time, and I talked about a couple of really, it was a women's meeting. And I talked about things that I had told myself, I'm going to go to my grave with these things. I will never tell anybody what I've done here. And the reality of it was I had found a group of people that were just like me, that, you know, it didn't matter how far down we had gone or how far down I had gone. I was accepted and I was loved and I wasn't judged for these things. It was more, hey, let's help you through this. Let's get you through the feelings that you're having because you did these things, because that's not the person that you are. And the realization that I knew that the Amy that was caring and loving and compassionate and not this vengeful fucking bitch was in there, deep in there. I just didn't know how to find her. And it was Austin Recovery and the program of CA and AA that pulled that out of me. Oh, and I forgot to do my timer. Chris, will you keep me in check on that, please? Sorry. I meant to do that. So what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. I'll be real honest with you. COVID, it's an excuse. I just, you know, Zoom is not my jam. I stopped going to meetings during COVID. And I felt it like a ton of bricks. My sponsor moved out of state and I thought, oh, that's fine. I can just talk to her on the phone and we can, you know, FaceTime and that'll be fine. No, it wasn't. Not for the alcoholic that I am. The most important day of me being clean and sober is August 22nd of 2021. Today I woke up. Today, so far, I've stayed clean and I've stayed sober. I get a lot of people that are like, whoa, 17 years, that's amazing. And I'm like, it's amazing. Yes, it's a miracle because somebody like me, I was the friend that everybody had literally written off and thought she's going to die. We know she's going to die. There's no doubt that she's going to come out. She can't come out of this. And the miracle is I did. And not only did I come out of it, I've been able to help so many people along the way and live this life that is beyond my dreams. You know, my goals when I remember doing my Sane and Sound, my first and second time around. And it was like, all right, he's got to have a car. He can't live with his mom. He can't do drugs or drink. And he's got to have a job. And that was me dreaming big. And today when I look at my life and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, yes, those are all good qualities to have in a partner. And I'm single. I'm single right now because the funny thing is, oh, let me back up. So I'm going along in this sobriety thing and I've got all these big plans. I'm going to start this career and, I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to start getting all the things that I've never had in my life. And, wouldn't you know, 35 years old, I've got this plan, mind you, and God decides not quite yet. And I get pregnant with my ex, who's a sociopathic narcissist that I only say that because we never did get together after I got pregnant. I just knew I was having this kid. And I thought to myself, I got this. No big deal. You know, I've had another kid. I'm a great mom, whatever. Yeah, this one is me with a penis. He is just as ADHD as I am, just as stubborn, just as all the things. He's 12 years old now, and I swear to God, I don't want to put this on him, but I am, if I didn't have a program, I guarantee you I would have gone back to drinking after having him. And I think a lot of that is where my alcoholism and my drug addiction went into high gears after I had my first kid. The isolation, you know, I was young, I was 23. The isolation and the loneliness and the just rejection that I continued to feel. It was like, well, you know, alcohol and drugs, they always, you know, they're always there for me. They always love me. So here now I've got two kids. It's 2008 and I'm trying to start this career and everything. And again, toting along my way. And I realize this is my will. This is what I wanted. I didn't involve God in any of this because I had gotten to this point and I thought, I've got this now. Thank God I didn't relapse, but let me tell you something. You can be in relapse mode and not touch a drink or a drug. Thank God the women, you know, one of the things that I did when I started out is I found the people that, you know, I wanted what they had. I found the people that practiced the principles outside of the rooms as well as inside of the rooms. And some of these women are still in my life today, still clean and sober today, which is amazing. And I continue to add to that group as I go on. But these women surrounded me. They saw the fear in my life. I was out of control. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't using, but I sure as hell was acting like a dope fiend and an alcoholic. So they surrounded me. Max was a sickly child. He projectile vomited and had colic. And so there was no way I was bringing him to a meeting. And that was a great excuse. Well, they brought the meetings to me. I'm looking at everybody in here, the AR family house, and I can see different women behind each other. And I just think to myself, my God, if I had had that, that would have been amazing. But I'm stubborn and I didn't need any help. And I got this and I made this bed and I'll lie in it. It was the women in the program that were like, no, we've got you. We've got you and we're going to help you. You're going to take a nap. We're going to take Max from you. And it was like, oh. And again, these moments where God just goes, okay, you're not doing what I need you to do, so I'm going to take care of it for you. It was in that time that I realized I was a serial monogamist. I could not be alone. I had to be in a relationship. And there weren't a lot of guys that were going after that pregnant chick. You know, it really wasn't a sexy look. So there was God again in my life going, I'm going to force you to be alone. I need you to date yourself. I need you to love yourself. I need you to accept yourself without a partner involved. And so I did. I dated myself for many years and I learned, again, doing more step work on this, working with my sponsor with this and realized, you know, okay, I still have more to work on. Here I am, 47 years old. I have an amazing career that I love. I have two kids, one who's never seen me drunk and the other one that knows if he ever has a challenge, where to come. I have friends today that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. If I pick up the phone and I say, I need you, they're going to be here and vice versa. I am able to be a part of everybody's life. My family is back. You know, I've got my relationship with my mom. It's so funny. I was the black sheep in the family. I was the one that, you know, that couldn't be controlled, kicked out of the house, sent to rehab, all the things. And it's funny because now I'm the one that everybody comes to for anything, advice, help. What do you think? Where should we go? I'm the one and I'm kind of like, I'd rather be the black sheep, please. But I find it funny that, you know, at one point in my life, they couldn't look at me in the eye because they were so disgusted with me. And today I'm the one that they turn to if they need anything, if they need to talk, if they need to figure something out, I'm the one they come to. People trust me today. You know, I remember the first time someone asked me to watch their kiddo. And I think I was maybe 3 months sober. And I just remember freaking out, just thinking, what do you mean you want me to watch your kid? Nobody's asked me to watch their kid in years. This is crazy. And from there, it just, you know, people trust me with their children, their cars, their houses, their innermost secrets, which is the most important thing to me. Being able to go through a fifth step with somebody, I mean, that's a spiritual experience. Being able to go, you know what, I love you. I love you no matter what. All these things don't matter. Let's get through them. Let's take away the shame. Let's take away the regret. Let's take away all the vengeful things that you think of when you think of all everybody on your four-step, including yourself. Let's be good to you. So today, I still struggle at 17 years sober. There are still times where, you know, I even texted my sponsor right before this and I'm like, hey, telling my story for the first time in a couple of years, need a little pick me up, you know? I pick up the phone at least once a day and talk to another alcoholic or addict. And I find that if I don't, if there isn't some sort of recovery in my life every day, I start getting into my mindset. What is my will? What do I want? What's happening with me? Whereas if I turn it over, step three is my favorite step, turning our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him, being able to go, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to trust you with this. It was so funny. I used to be like, you know, God, I'm going to trust you with all this, but I'm going to keep control of my finances and my romance because I think I got that a little better than you do. He proved me wrong. He proved me very wrong on that. And it's when I turned everything over to the God of my understanding, life just took flight. It just took flight. And when I take back that will is when everything gets messed up every time. And every time I go, damn it, I knew this was going to happen. The other thing I love is when I'm getting into kind of a funk, I know that all I have to do is reach out and help out another alcoholic. And it's amazing how that simple act of just reaching out and helping another alcoholic can just shift your whole perception on everything. Me being here today, you know, Chris and I have crossed paths a couple times, but like he said, there's been a couple times he's like, hey, can you speak? And I'm like, nah, I can't, you know, and it was fear. It was just fear. I don't like speaking. I don't like telling my story. But also I know that it's my job to do so. I am a miracle. I crawled into the doors of AR, a broken, broken woman with years of a lot of messed up stuff. And I didn't think that I could ever come back from any of that. Today, my oldest, he looks at me and he will tell me to my face, you're my hero. I watched what you did. I watched how you came out of that. I watched how you turned your life around. I get the opportunity to help other women today. And that's an opportunity that I never would have had I not just said, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to do what they say for a year. And it was funny, probably about 6 months in, I was like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Cause this is feeling really good. And I got this. I got this so much. I'm going to just kill it at whatever career I do. And I'm going to make a ton of money. And then when I retire, I can start drinking again and I can start using again. And it was funny because that night in the back of the big book, there's a story about a guy who did just that and lost everything. And I'm like, oh, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. I see you. I understand you. Thank you. But it's funny. He talks to me like that. And when I talk to him and I ask for answers, I'm constantly, you know, show me what I should be doing here. Is this your will or my will? Because my will gets me in trouble, but your will puts me exactly where I need to be. And there's times where I'll be like, okay, God, I need you to show me what I need to do here. And it's, you know, I need you to slap me across the face because I don't do these whispers in a wind thing. That's not who I am. And he'll give me the answer. And I'm like, oh, that couldn't have been him. No, that was too easy. And down the line, I go, well, sure as shit, that was him. Look at that. It's amazing how this works. Time and time again, I question things and I wonder about things and I look down on things. And then all of a sudden it's like, uh-huh. Okay. It is simple. It's not easy, but it is very simple. I think the key to me staying in a program of recovery is helping others. I really do. And it's something that I've gotten out of doing during COVID. And it's something that I need to get back into doing. So I want to thank all of you for being here today, because for now I'm sober and I'm clean at 7:05. And that is a miracle. Chris, I think we've got like what, 10 more minutes. Will you time check me, please? 10 or 15. Okay. All right. Well, golly, I think I just rambled on everything. I don't know if I have much else to say, quite frankly. I'm trying to think. I guess if I don't know how much time everybody has here, but in my first 18 months, I remember hearing over and over again, it works if you work it. you know, I used to laugh at all the little signs on the AA things. You know, all the big book, not even big book things, all the sayings that I would see, and I'd laugh at it. And then I realized, no, this does work if you work it. It's a program of action. I have rested on my laurels before. I have, and it's bit me in the ass. Thank God it never bit me enough to where I decided I'm going to go buy a bottle because of this. Nothing that I've had to face since I have gotten sober has made me go, you know what, this is worth drinking or using over. And like I said before, you can have the behavior and be dry. And that's something that I think I need to keep in check. And really what that comes back around to is step 12, working with others. Get a sponsor, work the steps, even if you just fly through it the first time. I know we did this thing with AR alumni years ago with Mike Peck, and we did Back to Basics, where you could do the steps in 2 weeks. And it was just to kind of get you, you know, okay, this is what it's going to be like. And then dive deeper later on if you need to. But just realizing that, you know, going through those steps, talking to another alcoholic, and realizing there's a solution and you don't have to continue what you're doing. And life is amazing. I missed the boat party. My kiddo had COVID, so we were quarantined at the house. But things like that, I mean, come on. Boat parties. Who thought you could do a boat party sober and have fun with it? it's amazing the gifts that you receive as you continue on the journey of sobriety. I'm amazed every day. When I wake up every day, I remember what it was like. I remember the smells. I remember the room that I was in. I remember everything because I don't ever want to forget that desperation that I had. And then I turn it into gratitude and I ask God to guide me every morning. And I'm not perfect and I screw up a whole lot, but it's never enough to where I can't do a 10th step and go, hey, you know, today I can look at someone in the eye and go, man, I really screwed that up and I'm sorry. What can I do to make it right? The old Amy could never do anything like that. You know, cleaning up messes before, you know, before it became something crazy. You know, these steps are a way of life to where you can live without remorse and regret and worry and fear, which are all the things that controlled me before. I couldn't go to a grocery store because I was afraid of who I'd run into. I had no problem going to a bar, but I couldn't go and do normal activities throughout the day because I had probably done or said something to somebody, and they would have every right to take me out. Every right. Today I walk in anywhere and I hold my head high. I've got no regrets today. I've got nothing to hide from today. The things that I thought that I would go to my grave with, the things that I was mortified about and I thought were so horrific that nobody should ever know, these are things that I can talk to other women about and realize that, hey, we've got a lot in common and it's going to be okay. I remember the first couple of women that came to talk to me after I had shared a couple of things like that. And it was shocking to me that, I mean, the more I stayed in went to meetings, it was shocking to me how much we really do all have in common. And at the end of the day, we're alcoholics and we're addicts that just want to do better and just want to get better. And if you do it one day at a time, I don't like, I never like it when someone, and I shouldn't say this, but to me, when I'm in a meeting, I don't like it when someone tells me what their sobriety date is when they're about to share. I'm like, yeah. What are you doing today? What's going on today? Today has been an amazing day. I took my kid to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Did not flip the fuck out. That's program. The fact that I could stay calm during all that and come to him with love versus, what are you doing? Oh my God. It was just, I went to him with love and I was like, you know, there's a solution and you know, there's an answer. If you need it, just come to me anytime. I'm here. That attraction, not promotion. I'm here. You've been to the rooms. You grew up in the rooms. And knowing and just having faith that I'm powerless over that. I'm powerless over what my 23-year-old does. He's a full-grown man. He's got a job. He can do what he wants. And knowing that I'm powerless and turning all that over gives me the peace every day to just go, that doesn't mean I walk around with my head in the sand, but just knowing that I know that I've done what I can and I'm turning the rest of it over to God. And at the end of the day, I sleep pretty soundly. I really do. I will continue to ramble, so I'm going to stop there. Thank you again, everybody, for being here. I love seeing all these babies. Oh my God. My uterus is like contracting right now. Seriously. I don't want another baby, but I love to babysit. Just so you know, if anybody wants to hit me up on chat, I'll come over for a few hours. But seriously, thank you for having me and thank you for letting me be here tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Amy.
Hey, awesome. Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. That was awesome.
Yes, Jennifer. Yes, it was good.